I said the king's in the building. Coming to you live from the CBS Sports Radio 650 studio in Houston, Texas. Here are the Sports Kings, Mario, David, Chris, and Mean Gene.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports King Saturday here on CBS Sports Radio 650 AM Houston. I am your host, Mean Gene, and I am here with the crew, the magnificent crew who I haven't seen in a while. Gentlemen, welcome to Sports King Saturday.
Oh,
David,
Gene.
Ramon.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. What's the
How
deal,
you doing,
Gene?
David?
Oh, man, I'm doing good, man. And you know what? Not, you know, any better time as of right now to start the show, right? As of all this stuff that's going on. And it seems like, you know, the news just keeps coming in, Gene. Like, we ain't going to be bored at all whatsoever today.
No, we got a whole lot of stuff to talk about. And over to your, is it your left or
My
right?
Left.
It's your left.
Yes, sir.
Mario Cordova. How you
yes,
doing, Mario?
I am so happy to be back, guys. I'm so glad it's Saturday. Sports King Saturdays in the afternoon. I'm excited. So good to be here.
You know what, Mario? It is great to see you, especially sporting that Sports King shirt, which just, it looks so great on you, Mario.
Oh, yeah. You know it, I had to wear the Sports King shirt for the first day.
And over to my right is our producer who is over here.
Yeah.
I mean, what's going on?
The star of the show.
Chris.
CBS, Tomez. 6:50 a.m. Producer, not no more. I am the color commentator of the Sports Games. I hope you guys are tucked in and buckled in because we're going for a wild ride.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing. And guys, you know what? We have a guest in the studio with us. And rarely do we bring our marketing department with us, but we have a traveling marketing department with us, and Kimberly Cooper is here in the studio. She's probably not going to say anything. She says, no, she's shaking her head. So Kimberly is in the studio observing us today and seeing if this show is even worth marketing.
Yeah, making sure we act right.
I don't know. She's got a pen in hand like, okay, I guess I'll do my best. All right.
Impress
so,
me.
Hey, Houston, every Saturday you can catch this show every Saturday right here on CBS Sports Radio Houston 650 AM. No, 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 no. It's not a test. We are live every week, and we have a lot of stuff to talk about. Anything that's happening, Houston, college football, NFL, NBA, which is slowly sneaking up on people.
Preseason,
you know
yeah.
And that's
Lord.
The thing about the NBA, too. For now on,
I'm not ready
forever,
for it yet.
Forever, it doesn't die all season long. Forever, NBA will forever be going. So just during the summer, no matter what time it is, it's going to be going strong. Because think about all the stuff that we went through the offseason during the summer, all the drama and all the little things, too. Then, of course, preseason starting up. And now we get to talk our mess a little bit. We get to see people, you know, kind of grow into this chemistry. We got a lot of things to look at.
Well, and we got a lot of things to talk about, too, folks. As I mentioned, we will get into NC2A college football. I know David has a lot of scores and updates that we're going to talk about a little bit later in the show. We'll also talk NFL week 5. We'll get you ready for that big game between the Texans and the Chiefs tomorrow night. Can't wait.
Ooh.
Later on, we got a treat for you too. Here in a couple of minutes, we will bring on one of Houston's own. And it's always nice to have a hometown favorite on.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a boxing fan, I would listen closely because Mario is going to break it down here in a couple of minutes. We're going to bring on the great boxing promoter, Ronnie Shields, going to join us a little bit later on here to talk about some of these.
Excited.
I know you're excited, and I don't want to ruin it for anybody, but you need to stick around because I know there's been a lot of just controversial boxing matches and including this one wasn't controversial, but just the mix, the MMA, the UFC versus, you know,
the Conor McGregor Mayweather fight.
So
yeah,
it's going to be interesting to hear Ronnie's thoughts on that coming up later in the show. And of course, in the NFL, we got a favorite coming on here. Now, he is a sports contributor to Fox Sports, and he's also a contributor for the Sports Kings here. Been on this show many times. Dustin Pfeiffer covers the Carolina Panthers. And guys, Dustin's going to come on and talk about this Cam Newton story, which I have heard more than my share of it. And we got a little bit time here to talk about it. If you didn't hear about it, I'm sure you have, because I've heard over 40 hours of sports talk about nothing about this subject. Cam Newton apparently said some inappropriate things in the locker room. Not as inappropriate as it sounds, but apparently he was shocked that a female reporter actually knew something about routes in the NFL.
Yep.
So, and he, you've probably heard the sound bite or seen it a thousand times. But guys, all about nothing or what?
Oh, no, no, it's all about something because, you know, I think a lot of people like to press about what people should know and and kind of, you know, gauge of what everyone should be, kind of like stay in your own lane type of thing.
Yeah, basically.
But, I mean, as of right now, though, we don't live in that society anymore. We can't just stay in our own lane because, of course, within the past couple of weeks, the politics has been dripping over sports and vice versa, and you still have those naysayers and people saying to, again, stay in your lane. But we can't do that whenever stuff like this happens because, I mean, these women, you know, work just as hard, you know, just as a man to get to the position where they're at. So, I mean, it sucks that we have to go through these things. And maybe Cam, whenever he was saying it, he probably didn't even think nothing of it. But that's the thing that we have to overcome, though. Like, we can't no longer just be...
You know, I don't know, Dave. Like, for me to say, like, he didn't know, you know... Quarterbacks are the most calculative people on the team.
No, no, for sure.
You know what I mean? They are the minds, they are the brain, they run the team, you know. So, you know, they're very picky and savvy in what they say, you know. So, yeah. I'm pretty sure he said it. I just don't think he think the backlash was going to be as big as
But that's the thing, though. Like, I'm not trying to protect him or anything because what he said was wrong. But what I'm saying is that him not knowing that, just kind of spit it out there, him deep down inside probably thought that wasn't that such a big deal. Because and that's the thing that we have to gauge at.
True. And guys, I'll tell you what. We're going to talk about it a little bit later when Dustin comes on because here's one thing I do know. I have actually been in that Panthers locker room. I have interviewed Cam Newton. And I know Cam Newton likes to play around. He likes to joke a little bit.
Yeah.
And I know also that we have partnered up with the Charlotte Observer, which is where this reporter works. So this is not a reporter that he didn't know.
Right.
Okay, if this was a reporter that he didn't know, he probably would have treated it a little bit different. So he was comfortable and was just playing. So, but we'll talk about it because I don't want to give all of my thoughts and opinions on it. And I definitely want you guys to hear from someone who does know Cam Newton, who, by the way, introduced me to Cam Newton. And that's Dustin Pfeiffer. He'll come along a little bit later on in the show and talk about that. But like I said, guys, we got a big show.
Yeah, okay? Man.
And I tell you what, guys, I never told you guys this about me, but I am afraid of heights. We are 19 stories up. And I don't want to look out of any windows.
Oh, yeah. I'm not doing that either.
Oh, okay. this is normal for me. I grew up on the 13th floor back in New York.
This is not. You guys didn't tell me that we were going to be up this high.
I mean.
It's great.
It is a good view because especially what we used.
Who's going to hold my hand going down when we leave?
Kimberly.
Chris, you're going to hold my hand.
You're going to have to go ahead and bring on that cane.
You have to blindfold me when we walk down the hallway. I can't look down. This is really scary. This is. Magnificent, guys. We're looking at our NRG Stadium here over to my right. This is just fascinating. This is really cool.
You know, it's a new chance to get cozy now because,
like,
I mean,
kid in the candy
we definitely
right
got
now.
Cozy in the last studio, but now, oh, this is total upgrade. So I think we're all loving this right now.
Oh, no.
I think so. Mario.
I forgot the lamp. I forgot the lamp.
So that's karma. You
that
know
is
that
karma.
Lamp goes everywhere.
Everywhere
it's
we
not
go.
That there's not
it's our mascot
light in here, but we have the lamp, and it's a story that we have to tell about the lamp. Even Kimberly was like, what's with the lamp?
Oh, that lamp is special
the
right there.
Mascot that we have with us. So any college football scores here? Anything's going on? I mean, I know we're going to talk about Oklahoma a little bit later because, first of all, how do you go from a 31-point favorite to struggling with our state? Really?
Defense, man.
Yeah, it's a little
defense,
bit of karma,
man.
Too, because whenever Oklahoma rocked Ohio State,
yeah.
and
yeah.
you know they wanted to do all the craziness in the middle of the field and you know act up a little bit. So I would say it's a little karma because, I mean, Oklahoma kind of going into the Big 12, the rest of their schedule, I mean, they kind of thought that they had it easy. But, I mean, today they got rocked. But, you know, hopefully we get to see a couple more games. I mean, just going by the scores, Miami and Florida State so far 0-3. West Virginia, TCU, 3-7 TCU. So
all right.
There's a lot of games still going on. And the good thing about today is that so much football is going on around the time that we're on air. So I think that's really the perfect thing right now. So it's going to be a little difficult to try to, you know, get all these scores
we won't get it in. You know, I can't wait
to
later on in the show. I think that's a couple of segments down the road. We're getting to our Houston Texans and what they did last week versus what they're going to be asked to do this week. A big game, you know, say what you want to say. People are saying that, the Titans were not that great. Baloney.
Oh, yeah.
The Texans put their foot deep where it was supposed to be, and they whipped that team, and we're not taking anything away from what the Texans did. And, guys, I am so glad I started Deshaun Watson as my quarterback.
I bet you did. Man, you must have got points up.
I didn't get any extra data to support starting him. I just like what I've seen over the last couple of weeks. And if the Texans were, you know, proud enough to start him as the quarterback, then Mean Gene was proud enough to start him as my fantasy quarterback. And look what happened. Oh, my goodness. I'm happy.
So I'll say you won last week then, right?
I did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
As long as you got that dub.
I won big time. Chris, how you doing over there?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
No WWFs?
Right now. I mean, we're still talking about sports right now and a little bit later.
You always sneak one in there, Chris.
I mean, I always sneak one in there. I was going to ask you guys, the podcast that we did last week, who, because I rooted for the underdog, and I know the Browns won because you said that somebody else was going to win, and the Browns going to win, so.
No, the Browns lost last week, didn't they?
Did they win? I mean, did they lose?
The Browns lost. Cleveland Browns lost.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, Chris, you got to have to do your homework before you come up in here.
Well, Chris is not really a sports fan, and it, you know, the fact that
I'm not a 100% sports fan.
We're going to bring him. We're working on it, though.
You're, what, 90% now? You have increased since we...
Oh, well, yeah.
10%.
Mm-hmm. Something like that. So, 10%. Tell you what, guys, like we are going to take a break, and when we come back, I know we will come back with the great one, the one of the best boxing promoters out there. Ronnie Shields is going to join us in the next segment. Folks, you are listening to Sports King Saturday right here on CBS Sports Radio 650 Houston. Just like a kid in the candy store. I told him that this guest was coming on here, and I know he is honored to have him on. So, Mario, I'm going to let you introduce our guest because I just take it away.
All right, Houston, I want you to give a very loud welcome to Port Arthur's only and the 2003 Boxing Trainer of the Year, Ronnie Shields. How you doing, Ronnie?
Doing great, man. How you guys doing?
We're doing great. Thank you so much and taking the time to come on the show. Just want you to know I'm a big fan of yours. I've been watching you since I was a kid.
I appreciate it, man. Sounds great.
Ronnie, I tell you what, man. It's Mean Gene. It's good to hear your voice. And I know I haven't seen you in a while. How you been?
I've been doing great, man. You know, just working hard, man. Trying to get these guys, you know, to the top of the level.
Mm-hmm. Hey, and see, and Ronnie, I tell you, man, every time I ask him that question, he says that the same thing. So I know he's working. Hey, Ronnie, just real quick, man, I know, we went through a terrible devastation here with Hurricane Harvey, and I know things got kind of ugly in Port Arthur. I just want to kind of, can you give us just up to date here on how the situation, how is everything? Is your family, everybody doing okay in Port Arthur?
Yeah, everybody's doing good, man. As well as to be expected, you know, I had some kin people lose everything. Mm. And some of them, you know, didn't have anything. So, you know, I guess you take the good with the bad. But, you know, but they're getting help, and that's the most important thing. You know, everybody come out of okay, everybody's alive, so, you know, God is good.
I hear that all the time.
All right, that's good to hear. So, well, Mario, take it away.
All right, Mr. Ronnie Shields, you already know what's going to be the first questions I have to get into you, and it's going to be the whole, you know, the elephant in the room, the Gennady Golovkin fight and Canelo Alvarez. Can you please tell me what is your opinion on the outcome, and do you think there will be a second fight?
Well, I know definitely it's going to be a second fight, but as far as the outcome, I had an 8-4 Triple G.
Okay.
I thought Triple G, he did enough to win. He threw more punches. He landed more. You know, both guys really didn't land really big, hard shots like everybody was expecting. It didn't happen that way. You know, it just seemed like Canelo didn't want to fight. You know, it's so funny, man, how he was moving backwards and moving side to side.
Yes.
Moving around.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then he gets a draw. You know, when he fought Erlande Lara, Erlande fought that same way.
Yes, man.
And he gets a loss.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, but, you know, Erlande Lara called it, you know, before the fight. He said, look, you have to knock him out to even win.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's a shame, you know, that the sport has come to that. You know, I mean, you know, and you know, the lady judge, Adelaide Bird, you know, what was she looking at? I mean, they still trying to, everybody in the boxing world still trying to figure out what was she looking at.
I had the same questions, Ronnie. I don't know how you get 118, 110. It's unfathomable. Like, what fight were you watching?
Yeah, you know, a lot of people think she's on vacation right now.
Mm.
thanks to Canelo. Mm-hmm. But who knows? You know, I mean, it's just crazy, man. And you know, the Nevada State Athletic Commission, all they did to her was took her off big fights for a while. Wow. But they're gonna bring her right back. You know, so hey, you know, it's just crazy. But you know, she did the same thing when he fought Floyd. So what? You know, what's what? You know, I mean, you know,
it's hard to tell
these days what's going through these people's minds.
But Ronnie, I got a question. Okay, because now that fight and that judge, you know, it was controversial. But there was a fight a couple of maybe months or weeks before that, and that was the fight. Was that over in Australia? The one that we watched where with
Manny Pacquiao and Joe Horn.
Yeah,
yeah, that was in Australia.
With that fight, and that fight ended in I think it was judged a lot closer, but it still ended up in some sort of controversy. So what was your thoughts on that fight?
No, I thought Horn actually won the fight. When you're looking at the fight, I think you have to look at everything, you know. And Pacquiao really didn't do much in the fight until the ninth round.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the ninth
round, he
went after the guy.
Right.
And he had him, but just couldn't put him away. And actually, the referee tried to help him. And I know that referee really well. He's a really good referee, too. Mm-hmm. But he went over to Horn's corner and said, hey, you guys sure you want to come out for the 10th round?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he really kept questioning him about it.
Yeah, he did. You know, and you know, he tried to do everything he can to help Pacquiao, I believe.
Yeah.
But you know, Horn came up and he finished strong. So, but it wasn't much controversy to that fight as Triple G and Canelo.
Yeah.
Do you think now after that show, do you think that Joe Horn is actual contender now within the weight class?
Well, you know, I don't think so. Mm-hmm. You know, just knowing that all of the good guys that's in 147 pounds.
Yep.
You know, you got Errol Spence, you got Keith Thurman, you got Danny Garcia, you know, you got Lamont Peterson. I mean, you know, you got so many guys, man. That Terrence Crawford is moving up.
You just took the words out of my mouth. I'm like, you know, Terrence Crawford's the kingpin at 140, but he says he's coming up to 147. So that's definitely going to shake up the ground.
Oh, absolutely, man. And all that's going to do is make boxing more popular, because all these guys just don't need to fight. You know, they need to get these guys in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's the thing that people are looking forward to.
Hey, folks, once again, we are talking to the great boxing promoter in Houston's own, Ronnie Shields, joining us here on Sports King Saturdays here on CBS Sports Radio Houston 650. So, Ronnie, you know, I always know you got something going on, so won't you let the listeners know what you're working on right now?
Okay, next week, Saturday the 14th, in Brooklyn, New York, at the Barclays Center,
Woo!
We have Arislande Lara defending his title. And then it's a triple header. It's three world title fights.
Yep.
All in the same weight class.
Mm.
And that's gonna be a spectacular event.
Oh,
you know, Houston's own Jamel Charlo. I don't train Jamel. I train Jamal.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But Jamel Charlo is defending his title, and then this other kid, that's the IBF champion, at Jared Hurt is defending his title against Austin Trout. So it's gonna be a triple header on Showtime. And it's going to be a great event, man.
I cannot wait. I'm actually one of the biggest cards of the year. But one last question for me, Ronnie. And to me, I know personally you worked with Guillermo Rigondeaux, and El Chacal to me is like the boogeyman of that weight division. You know, no one wants to fight him. No one wants to fight him. And I'm so glad that Vasily Lomachenko stepped up and said, I'd fight him. And this is the first time in boxing history you're having two-time gold medalist go at it in a professional fight. So, honestly, tell me, how do you see this going?
Well, I tell you like this. I was surprised that, you know, if I was still with Guillermo, I probably would have tried to talk to him out of the fight.
Really?
Because you know, you got to understand, Guillermo is a small guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's a tiny guy.
Yes, he is.
He's 122 pounds. He walk around at 125.
Mm.
Okay? That's the way that's how much he walk around. You know, the guy can make 118 pounds, but he wanted to fight at 122.
Mm.
So he became 122-pound champion.
Yes,
so
he
Machenko
did.
is a 130-pounder that walks around about 140.
Yeah.
So you're talking about, you know, you're talking about 8 pounds difference in between their titles.
Mm-hmm.
And then Guillermo is going up. He's walking around. I saw him a couple of weeks ago in San Antonio. And, you know, I asked him how many he weighed. He said, I'm like 125 of all my clothes on right now.
Ooh.
You know, because he's been training.
Yeah.
You know? So he's going to give up maybe 10, 15 pounds. But wow. Let me tell you something. He is so good.
Oh, yeah. I've been watching Rick and Dow. Forever, man. I watch, you know, the fight that me that put Rick and Dow on the map was when he fought against Nito Donaire. You know, people say that was a sleep fest, but if you're a true boxing fan, as myself and as you are, Ronnie, you would know that was a boxing lesson that night.
Absolutely. And he's going to do the same thing to Lomachenko. You know, he's going to beat Lomachenko. Lomachenko, look, he throws a lot of punches. He puts the pressure. That's everything that Rick and Dow looks for. He wants that. He wants this guy to make the fight.
I know. You know? Oh, I can't wait for this fight.
Man, let me tell you something. Guillermo, you know, he's such a good boxer. He has great defense, you know, and this is going to be a showcase fight for him, mm-hmm. I believe. And I think, you know, everybody's picking Lomachenko, but I'm not. I'm calling Guillermo Rigondeaux.
I'm with you. I'm calling Guillermo Rigondeaux, too. Is it going to go to decision?
Absolutely. I think it'll go to a decision.
All right. Thank you so much, Mr. Ronnie.
All right, Ronnie. Hey, Ronnie, I tell you what, man. We appreciate you coming on, making the time this Saturday. We're going to pump up your fight next week and look forward to getting over there and hanging out with you some more. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Shields.
Folks, the great one, Ronnie Shields. Pumping it up, talking the smackdown.
Man. I know,
boy, look at this guy right here.
You don't understand.
His tail was wagging the whole time.
Right, calm him down over there, okay? So, all right, we're going to come back here. We're going to go to break here. And when we come back, we're going to break down a little bit about what Ronnie was talking about. You are listening to Sports King Saturdays right here on CBS Sports Radio, Houston, 650 AM. All right, folks, once again, we are back here. Sports King Saturday, Mean Gene Sports Machine. I rarely drop that Sports Machine.
Yeah, I was about to say, the Mean Gene Sports Machine.
You know about
so
that
new,
one.
New station, no, new name.
No, that name has always been around for those people who know me.
I mean, Mean Gene.
I don't think I know that guy.
Mean Gene is
the Sports Machine.
Mean Gene comes from wrestling. I don't know if you know that.
Well, no, I was called Mean Gene, maybe because of Mean Gene.
I don't think so, sir. I don't think so. Mean Gene, you got nothing on Mean Gene. No, I'm just saying.
I honestly thought mean Joe Green first, but...
You know, okay.
Honestly, because you're a Pittsburgh fan, right?
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
I am. I am a Steelers fan. Okay. Christopher Tomez.
Yo.
Our marketing genius guru who's learning so much about it. She's taking notes, too. Can you... Snatch that paper.
Right. She has a pencil.
She got me nervous because she's taking notes and I'm here and I'm just like, oh my God.
Wait, what
are you doing?
Mario's a boxing guy.
She seems more like a court reporter.
For real. A stenographer.
I don't know what she's writing over there. Like, Jesus Christ. Mario.
Yes,
Canova,
sir.
Who has wiped the sweat off your forehead, dude.
I'm telling you, I am beating
him. He's winking out.
I fangirled out. I'm not even going to lie.
It's not every day that you get to talk to one of the premier boxing promoters in the world, not just
I've
the
never, so this is the first time, so, you know.
And he's right here.
You're welcome.
Yeah, Ronnie Shields, and people don't know that one of the best boxing promoters in the world lives right here.
Right here in H-Town. That's right.
Right.
His Plex gym is out there in Stafford. If y'all don't know where it is,
I haven't been to his new gym. He, you know, when I met Ronnie Shields, he invited me down to his gym. He had a gym right here in Houston somewhere, not far.
Oh, 45, if I'm not mistaken.
I think so. Yeah. And I met Evander Holyfield. I met the Diaz brothers. You know.
Do you think he can make me the next Mike Tyson?
Who, you?
Yeah.
Or Butterbean.
You can make your Butterbean.
Oh, because
But this guy's, you know, and Ronnie used to box himself.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Two times he came up for the championship. He fell short, though, by split decision. But still, you know, a really great.
Still
you know,
in the game.
Still in the game. He's one of the best trainers out there. You know, he trains one of the Charlos. You know, those Charlo twins are bad boys coming out here out of Houston. They both hold titles within their weight division. You know, the, that's very rare to have twins that have their title, and he's trained one of them. You know, he's trained the amazing Arturo Gatti, Mike Tyson, Evander Holyfield, Guillermo Rigondeaux.
Pernell Whitaker.
Vernon Forrest. I mean, he's trained.
Vernon Forrest, he has worked with some of the top photographers
in the world.
And guys, y'all, forgive me, because honestly, the only thing that was really on my head, because of course y'all covered all the fights and everything, but this is something that I've been hearing for this past week, and it's really got my attention just because I'm fully in it now. Mm-hmm. And that's George Foreman.
Yeah.
Versus Steven Seagal. You think that can
really happen?
I'm serious. I'm serious. He called him out.
Oh, my God.
Like, he called him out, so it basically has to happen, right?
I'm not here to fight. I'm here to learn.
Yo, I don't know, man.
It's because you said something about the women or something.
Wait, who challenged who, though?
I'm not saying
George
that
Foreman challenged him.
Yeah. He called Steven Seagal.
Yeah. Really? Yeah. Like, he said he can fight however he wants, so he can do kung fu, whatever he wants to do.
I'm here to learn. I'm a teacher.
Hey, man, George. Don't mess with George Foreman.
That's a big dude.
Don't mess with George. Foreman,
he sells pretty good product. I like his George Foreman grill. It makes
If George Foreman landed a right hand on your face, you'd wake up next year.
No, thanks ago. Have you seen?
I've seen him in person.
I've seen people laugh. I've seen people laugh at Steven Seagal in his face.
Yes. John Leguizamo.
So anyway, back to Ronnie.
Yes.
So Ronnie's got something. I'm glad we got him on this show because next week he's got some big stuff going on.
Yes, he does. There's actually a lot of fights coming up, but the main one that's going to be this week is on October 14th, and it's going to be his boy Charlo defending his title against Lara. And also Lara's going to be defending his title, as well as the IBF champion Jared Swift Hurd will also be defending his title. So it's going to be a triple header, all in the same weight division, people.
What do you got for those?
Jared Swift Hurd is a bad boy right there. Speed equals power. You know what I mean? And he has a little bit of both. So he was sloppy in his last fight. So I want to see if he fixes up what he did last time and see if he comes polished.
Okay.
But I'm going to choose Jared Hurd. You're saying Lara. I've been preaching about Lara since I've came on the show.
Yeah.
You know, I told you he beat Canelo Alvarez. I don't care what anybody says. He boxed him. He won by decision. He did what he's supposed to do because he comes from that great Cuban background of boxing, moving, sticking, the same thing. You know, what he did, what Mayweather did to him. He gave him the blueprint. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He fought Lara. He lost, you know, he won. Mayweather saw that and said, you know what? He can't beat a boxer. Boom, and he beat him, you know? So I think Lara's going to take that fight. And I'm also going to pick Charlo, man. Them Charlo twins are some bad boys, man.
Yeah, yeah. I've heard a lot about them. So anyway, so is that pay-per-view or is that
going to
be?
No. That is not pay-per-view. That is Premier Boxing Champions.
Okay.
On Showtime.
Showtime. Jimmy Lennon? Showtime.
Right? Jimmy, the classy Jimmy Lennon Jr. The classy. All right.
Great stuff.
But also that fight, that day too, you're also going to have Leo Santa Cruz defending his title against Avalos, as well as Amna Mares against Gutierrez. So it's going to be a great night of fights for us boxing fans.
Good stuff. So
great fights, great nights.
Great fights, great nights. That's right.
I tell you what, transitioning over to October,
the Astros.
What do we call
them
this?
Yankees.
Shut up.
I was trying to ease into this gently.
No, we're going
to
stop right now.
Yankees didn't go down without a fight.
We're going to
do
it right here. I'm going to say it right here, right now. Okay, Gene?
Chris just told everybody.
He did.
Yeah.
He did. So I'm
like
say
they couldn't tell by your accent.
But I'm going to say it right here, right now. I'm calling on Sports King Saturdays. We're going to go back to the Bronx. We're going to tie this series at 2. Okay, we're going to come back. We're going to tie that too, and we're going to go back to Cleveland. And we're going to win it in Cleveland.
And then you're going to wake up.
And then I'm going to wake up.
Okay,
but it's
so
okay, though.
Am I right that the Indians lead this series 2 games?
Cleveland's up 2-0. And let me tell you something, man. That game last night, if anyone watched it last night, it was a complete travesty. Okay, you have an 8-3 lead, bottom of the seventh. You give up a grand slam, and then you give up a single home run to tie the game in the ninth.
Are they still using Wild Thing?
Yeah, kind of, sort of.
Okay.
Something like that. And it broke my heart. I cried. But it's all right, though, because I'm a real Yankee fan. And we know that we're going to come back to the Bronx, where we always play better, where we got that short perch in left field, and we're going
to
hit some home runs.
And the Houston's going to go to the World Series, I'm saying right now.
Cleveland win 9-8, 13 innings, right?
Correct.
All right. So, I mean, crazy game.
Oh, my gosh.
By the way. All right, so, but the judge is playing.
Aaron Judge, man.
He's amazing. But let's talk about
the
game that really matters, okay?
The Strohs.
Let's talk about the Houston Astros.
Hey, y'all going forever, and I was just like, man, I know Mara's not about to get out of
New York or Houston.
It's all right, though.
So here we go. All right, Astros also lead their series
against
the Red Sox 2-0.
Forget you, Red Sox fans.
The 2, right?
8-2.
Man.
They scored 16 runs in the first two games.
Yeah.
16 runs in the first
crazy.
Two games. Crazy.
Yeah, to their four.
To their four. Altuve's hit 3 home runs that last game, so I'll call him Altrive because he's so good.
Call him that.
He is the first second baseman in Astros history to have 3 home runs in a game, as well as, I believe, the second or third in Major League Baseball history to have 3 home runs in a game, followed behind Reggie Jackson and your man Adam Kennedy.
I mean, if you look at his all-around stats, you really can't argue him against him whenever you're trying to compare him for an MVP, though.
Nope.
Like, I mean, you can do everything you can for a judge, but he affects the game so much. Really, I mean, he's always on base if he doesn't hit. He's still getting a walk. People are scared to pitch to him, and you're starting to see this now. People are starting to just paint the corners a little bit more with him because they just really don't want him to be on the base like that. But, I mean, everyone's going to step up because we can talk all day about Altuve, but, I mean, Correa, Springer, Marwin Gonzalez, I mean, all of them do a little bit of things to get themselves on base and still be in there. And even look at Alex Bregman, too. He's starting to come along as well, too, because this whole lineup can swing the bats. And that's really what's going.
And that's the scary part about this lineup is solid 1-9. And not only is it solid, it's the depth in which this team has. Mm-hmm. And for the playoffs, that's one of the things you need is depth. And the crazy thing about it, this Astro team kind of reminds me of the San Antonio team in the NBA because it's plug and play. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They'll have someone come off that bench. They get right up on there. Don't miss a beat. You know what I mean? Right on it. This team is good. And, man, I just honestly, at this point in time, I honestly think it's going to be Houston and Cleveland for the American League Series at this point in time. They're just really good.
Man, I even know that, after the first game, Boston was feeling really salty. But even coming into this next game where they had Pomeranz coming in, and he had, the Astros numbers twice this year already. Mm-hmm. So he beat them twice and one. He beat them, I think it was last week that he beat them. So, I mean, coming into this game, I'm pretty sure they were very confident. But, man, whenever you see them crushing, and then, I mean, our pitching is doing this, not that bad either. Keiko was able to get out some jams. So, you like to see that. Yep.
Justin Verlander looked great that first game. You know what I mean? Coming back, I think what he needed was a change of scenery out of Detroit. He need to go to a team that's going to give him that fire, that wants to win. And he's been there. He's been to the postseason. He knows what it is to pitch in the playoffs. He knows what it is to taste victory. And he proved it that game. He still got it, man. And I think he came to Houston. And you know what it was before, too? The last couple seasons, they haven't been giving him runs.
That timing.
They haven't been giving him runs.
Oh, yeah.
The timing of getting him was right on point. And, I mean, man, it just seems like we've been talking Astros baseball for a long time.
The yo-yo team.
I don't think we have really fully got into it, though, because I still feel, even though they're doing so
good.
Coming,
though. We knew we were going to be talking about it in October. But, anyway, looking over at the National League, guys, I mean, this matchup with the Cubs and the Nationals, I think, the Cubs are not going to just lay down. And they're trying to make sure that people understand that last year was just not one of those flukes, okay? We know how the World Series ended. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I know people don't want to hear this, but I mean, I would not at all be surprised if the Cubs and the Indians got back in there again. But and we said this a couple of weeks ago on our podcast that, man, all of these teams that are in the playoffs, anybody could win this thing.
I still wish I could go back in time and put some money in the Cubbies.
Well,
I know
you missed that opportunity.
You missed that opportunity.
So anyway, the Cubs they lead that series right now one game to nothing, but they won 3-0. And the Dodgers, man, there was no way the Dodgers, when you're going up against a guy that's in the fourth rotation with the Diamondbacks, you have to win this game.
You have to light them up.
You got your ace out there. I mean,
he pitched amazing, man. He looked so composed.
You have to, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Was this game not set up for the Dodgers to win, even though they struggled in the first couple of innings?
Well, the Brooklyn Dodgers?
You can't say that because,
you call them Brooklyn if you want to. LA Dodgers.
They're still the Dodgers. They're still Brooklyn Dodgers. Still ties there. But, say what you say. It doesn't matter if you put your ace out there because, it showed with the Yankees. The Yankees put their ace out there. Sonny, listen, he got lit up. You know what I mean? So it doesn't mean anything because you put your ace out there. You do know that when you put your ace out there, you expect, okay, he's going to give me 5 rounds. He's going to, he's going to give me in. But he did what he needs to do, and he looked great.
Okay, so just good stuff, though. I mean, more Major League Baseball, more Astros, more American League, National League.
Can we call it right now? Who's going to win the World Series? Who's going to go to the World Series?
We're not even there yet.
I mean, but can we just predict right now?
He wants to jump. The fast forward button.
I want you, well.
We can't. We can't. There's too much baseball to be played.
I mean, but we can just predict, though.
Even though we've already been through 160-some games already, right. There's still a lot more left.
But, yeah. I mean, this is that time, though, and we talked about this on our podcast, man. It's either if you're not a football fan, so you're all glued into baseball.
Yeah, you are.
You know, and wrestling. Then we not even haven't even begun to talk about the start of baseball. I mean,
basketball
season, which kind of slowly creeped in there. But
right, man, I totally didn't even know until I got the alert on my ESPN on my phone.
It doesn't leave anymore. It stays forever.
That's crazy.
24/7.
That's right. It's starting early.
So that's why these preseason games started earlier as well. And I'm going to tell you right now, I wasn't prepared for it. So, all right. I know we got lots more to talk about here on the Sports Kings Saturdays here on CBS Sports Radio AM 650. Mean Gene, Chris, Mario, David. We'll be right back after the break. All right, we are back once again. Sports King Saturdays right here on CBS Sports Radio 650 AM Houston. Mean Gene, Christopher Tamez, Mario Cadova, and Diamond Dave. Finally, we dropping nicknames here on this show.
I was honestly hoping that you would have stuck the Diamond Dave. You would have saved it for a little bit.
Yeah, well, you knew I was going to throw it in there at some point in time.
You just know if you ever become a wrestler, that's going to be your name.
That's my biggest fear because, like, I don't want to be a wrestler that has Diamond Dave. Like, you know I'm going to lose.
Ouch, producer. Ouch.
and this show is so risque that we have to have our own court reporter, Kimberly Cooper.
Risque? How is that risque?
Kimberly, our court reporter over there on the thing. She's just typing away.
Stenographer.
No, I didn't say that. You can't prove me.
She's just typing away. Right. Yeah, can you please read back the question, ma'am? The entire couple of segments of this show. All right. It's the Sports King Saturdays. Tell everybody that, there's a sports talk show on 650.
6:50 a.m. Yeah, Sports King Saturdays.
Just join in and listen to us. So
the king's in the building.
Hey guys, this week marked the 1 year anniversary of the passing of the Rod Johnson. Rod Johnson was my co-host for many, many years on the Sports Kings. Rod provided the humor, the brain, some people would say, behind the Sports Kings, and bringing you guys on, Chris, David, and Mario. You guys are fulfilling Rod's dream of bringing this color commentating to the show.
I mean, be honest, who would be his favorite? I would be the favorite.
Look at you and like, okay, we need to talk in private.
That's the wrestling guy. He likes wrestling.
He loved wrestling and WWF, he would always sneak it in because I think he got tired of always asking me, can we talk about it?
We're going to talk about it. I'm keeping it alive.
So that was one thing. But anyway.
See you, Ron.
So, it's just kind of crazy that 1 year went by so quick. So, guys, you know, on the 20th of the 21st of this month, I'm going to be in Jackson, Mississippi, his hometown. He went to school at Jackson State University. Uh-huh. So I was supposed to go next week. So we moved it over to the Jackson State versus Southern game.
Oh, yeah.
So nice. I'm getting with his family, and we're going to go and donate a scholarship in his honor.
Nice.
Because Rod was he was not a broadcast journalist, but he was a mass communication journalist. Mm. I mean, a mass communication major. I'm sorry. So anyway, Rod did everything. Rod covered the Dallas Cowboys, in Dallas because I hated the Cowboys and I refused to do anything with them.
Period.
So he didn't have a choice but to cover the Cowboys. Made a lot of friends with media folks down there with Dallas and just a stand up guy, man. Rod just did a whole lot. I remember the first time I was at the NFL draft. Covering the draft in Chicago, and Rod had to host the show by himself, and the producer told me it was horrible. It was a nightmare. He says, "Gene, I'm so glad you're back in town," because Rod always did the show like a DJ on late night.
Oh,
you know,
my gosh.
I said, "Rod, this
did
is
he have
the
late
talk.
Night voice?" Hey guys,
yeah. I said, "Rod, this is sports talk, man. You got to come with it." He's like, "This is Rod." Hey folks, can you talk to your woman? You have a private conversation with this woman on my show. Anyway,
right? Leave all that pillow talk at home, sir.
All that pillow talk stuff. But anyway, looking forward to going down there. And Rod, I know you're looking down. You're probably wondering where we got Mario from.
I'm sorry for that.
I'd be the oddball out of the group. I know
Mario got in here.
It's okay.
But anyway, so guys, where are we talking? What any crazy college football scores out there?
There's a couple things that right now stand out to me. And one, I'm looking at this LSU and Florida game. Mm-hmm. And going to this game, everyone kind of knew that LSU, they kind of had their number pulled last week when they went against Troy and
lost. Yeah, they did.
You know, especially on homecoming. And that really came from...
That was homecoming?
Yeah, that was homecoming.
They want to burn those purple jerseys and those pants. They don't want to wear them anymore with those white helmets. And the thing that's going on right now is that they have really lacked depth in the, you know, on the lines and on both sides too. Not just on offense or on defense, on both of them. They had a lot of people that left the program, or maybe even injuries too. But to see the score right now, LSU is on top 17-3 against Florida in Florida right now. So, you know, this morning we saw a lot of hype, and this is a school that definitely, or two schools that have a really big rivalry. You know, they got to fight about the DBU, see, you know, who puts out the more defensive backs. But ultimately, I think this is a two schools that just, you know, they don't really like each other, you know? So, like, whenever you have that fueled up and everything going, and, you know, you already know it's going to be a good game. But for Coach O to go to Florida, and I see this lead as of right now, so that means Danny Etling is, you know, kind of pumping on all gauges right now, and they're, you know, doing different plays and stuff, because honestly, a lot of fans, you know, a lot of faithful LSU faithful were kind of questioning Coach O. And, you know, and
I've heard rumblings.
But this is the reason why you like Coach O, though, is because he's from the crib, you know? Right. He's a Louisiana man, and he has a Louisiana voice to fit it. And yeah, everyone loves that. And also, he's a recruiting guru. So that's another thing, too. So you're going to keep on getting those guys that are NFL caliber in there. But, you know, you have these times whenever they fall off a little bit. They're, you know, lacking depth a little bit in other places. But to see Florida kind of struggling as of right now, and they scored a touchdown, I see. And as of right now, Philippe Franks, who is a quarterback for Florida, was an ex-LSU commit. So to see this game kind of playing out a little bit, it's getting pretty interesting. And I'm pretty sure it's going to get chippy by the end of the game.
Yeah. So I see one final that doesn't surprise me. Well, maybe it did, because Georgia, are we not really giving Georgia
any respect?
Let
me tell you something.
And this is the thing.
This year.
Me and Dave talked about Georgia last week.
5-14 over Vanderbilt today.
We talked about Georgia last week, and I told Dave, I said, you know, if I didn't know anything about college football, the one thing I always knew was Georgia for some reason. And I don't know if it was the symbol or whatever, but that team has always been in my back pocket. And this year, I heard people saying, you know, Georgia's going to be really good this year. Whew. And I wasn't sure. But man, after last week, I'm on the Georgia bandwagon.
So let's look at Georgia real quick. So if you look at their schedule, next week, next week they have Missouri, but the week after they have Florida. Mm. So you look at Florida right now, they're losing this game against LSU, and you look at the rest of their schedule. Their schedule is a whole bunch of cupcakes. They play Auburn towards the end of the season, and
they're going to beat them by that time anyway.
How can you say anything in the SEC is a cupcake?
Oh,
though?
But as of right now.
As of right now.
I feel like Alabama did to Ole Miss last week, huh?
Well, Ole Miss is definitely one of those teams too. Like, you know, this past year, you know, they're ranked, they're kind of going good, but then the whole thing with Coach Freeze and all the drama.
Just a complete turnaround.
It's really all the drama that happened.
I just told somebody last week, when you see Alabama whip SEC teams the way they did last week, it's over.
But then you're talking about Alabama, so you already know that they're going into Texas A&M today.
Yeah, I can't wait.
So it's going to be a tough game for them. But, you know, you got to hope that 12th man can help them out, because Jalen Hurts.
They're going to need 12, 13, 14, 15, 16.
Because you have, you know, Jalen Hurts, you know, the Channelview native, this is pretty much going to be a home game for him. Yeah, so to have him at quarterback, you know, there's going to be some things going on over there. But Texas A&M's, you know, freshman quarterback, Munn, I don't know if he can do it just yet. Not against Alabama. We're not going to see the whole Johnny Manziel going into Tuscaloosa and shocking the world thing. We're definitely not seeing that today.
So check this out. I know the folks down there in Georgia are getting ready to sing the Jefferson song. Well, we're moving on up.
Oh, yeah.
Especially after Oklahoma.
This is not the thing.
Dropping. Mm-hmm. They will drop.
Oklahoma's going to drop after this.
They're going to drop.
Go Sooners.
The good news. news of the week, too, just didn't happen either.
Sooners?
Sooners.
Get out of here, Chris.
Crazy. No, I'm not. I just support them because of JR. Jim Ross.
Oh, okay, yeah, he's a big Sooners fan. Gotcha. But Georgia's faithful, though, had a lot to be happy other than this win. They also got the number one quarterback prospect in the nation signed this week. So that's another big thing.
Where did Matthew Stafford play his football at?
Who?
Matthew Stafford.
Yes, and he was like the last Georgia guy to go to Georgia.
Georgia's the top-ranked quarterback. Once again.
I'll tell you one thing. If anything, Georgia knows how to mix quarterbacks.
Yeah, every blue.
And that's the thing, too. I really don't think so as of right now. Like, since Matthew Stafford, I think they kind of been up and down, but the defense always stays there, and they always have, you know, questions on the offense. You know, of course, Chubbs is, you know, doing well and finally not hurt, so he's going to have to, you know, really kick it up. But to me, like I said, they have a schedule that really, you know, that's on their side, so they can end up winning out.
So
really,
what's with Notre Dame? They just playing regular football, nothing spectacular out of Notre Dame this year. They
Honestly, there's nothing spectacular.
Notre Dame's never Notre Dame's a blue collar team. You know what I mean? They're a ground and pound team. They're going to run the ball and they're going to play real good defense. You know what I mean? There's never going to be no easy win over them. But
I'm really looking at this TCU West Virginia game. I think a lot is going on with Kenny Hill. He's trying to lose that Kenny Trill persona from A&M. But, I mean, West Virginia is going to keep it close. They have a really explosive offense, but TCU does have them on the defensive side. TCU has really good rush defense. So they got their stars on that side, too.
Another surprising team this year, TCU.
And because
I'm not surprised. TCU's been they've been creeping up every that 1 year when they got skipped for that bid for that bowl game.
I know, yeah.
Man, they were amazing.
But even since then, though, they kind of rebuild since then. Yeah. So Kenny Hill's now at the helm. Of course, everyone remembers him from Texas A&M. Whenever he had those explosive first couple games, you know, he showed out against South Carolina that first game coming out. He was like the first guy right after Manziel. So think about all the pressure that he had, and now to kind of change scenery and kind of like, you know, kind of find his identity. So I think he's going to, you know, end up doing good. So, but, I mean, he's still a close game as of right now.
So, guys, you know what? This week I went to a high school football game.
Ah.
And I don't – and you would think, because this is the state of Texas, high school football is as big as anything in this state. So a friend of mine, his son – I think when I last saw this kid – well, I mean, I've seen him over the last couple of years, but just to see him on a football field, I think I saw him when he played the Pop Warner. But to see him in pads at the high school level, so Quentin Barclay, so he had a pretty good game out there. He plays for Mansfield, and down in Dallas.
Mansfield is a good school, I've heard.
And
huh?
They played Arlington Thursday night.
My bad.
Yeah. So, hey, pretty good game. He had a interception, ran it back for a nice little run back, and then he...
Oh, so he plays on the defense?
Both.
Oh.
Plays
both ways, okay.
Yeah, you play both ways, bro.
So he was targeted for a nice pass that the quarterback kind of just let the ball hang in the air a little bit too long. He had his man beat.
Yeah.
But the defender, once he knew the ball was thrown
was
the, short,
yeah.
Then he picked it off.
Right.
But it would have been a hell of a pass because he had his man beat by at least 4 yards.
Mm.
And then he stopped.
Those are the worst. But
I told him I was going to say, you know, hey, look, I'm going to come out there and see you play some more because, hey, I was thoroughly entertained. Mm-hmm. Even though I had work, put in 12 hours at the job and went after work to see a high school football game at night, it was well worth it. So, Quentin, you did good out there. I know your dad was proud of you. But you know what's funny, though? Because, you know, because his father coaches him at home. And you know, the coach coaches him on the field.
Mm-hmm.
You guys, I remember when my son played basketball at 8 years old. He knew I was a basketball coach, too. So I remember there was a time when he had the ball in his hand, his coach on the sidelines giving him a play. He was looking at me in the stands.
Oh, but you know what,
like,
Gene?
Man, listen to your coach.
That's something that you got to break, especially in football. There can't be that double standard
No, but, you know Quinn's father, Daryl, he would yell the things that you yell to your son. Not to do, you know, you yell. You
what
know,
are you
hey.
Doing?
Yeah, no, it's not that.
It's not
know,
my son.
Hey, you know, like,
sound,
hey,
like Dave yelling at his sister.
Stop right.
Not my son. Get back on defense.
You don't run. You're not coaching.
Not my son is like the worst
thing. You're more supporting from the stand. So kind of interesting. So I was kind of laughing because I remember. But my
don't
son
you cry.
Just flat out, my son flat out just held the ball and looked at me like, okay, Dad, what do I do?
You're going the wrong way.
Just crazy. So anyway. All right, I think we're up for a break here, guys. So when we come back, we're going to jump into the big boys, NFL. You listen to CBS Sports Radio Houston, 650 Sports King Saturdays.
Check us out.
And we are back once again. It's the Sports Kings Saturdays right here on CBS Sports Radio 650 Houston. Me, Gene, Mario, Chris, and David. And we are talking NFL. And we can't do that without our... guest and friend, known this gentleman for a while. He is a contributor to Fox Sports down there in Charlotte. He also covers the Carolina Panthers, and he is a contributor to the Sports Kings. And he's joining us today here to talk about the Carolina Panthers and Cam Newton. Mm-hmm. Please welcome to the show, Dustin Pfeiffer. How you doing, Dustin?
Hey, I'm good, Gene. How y'all doing today?
Hey, we doing good, man. We just want to know what's happening down there in Charlotte.
Well, you know, there's a lot going on, and it seems like here lately we don't really actually get to talk about the game too much. There's always something else we got to talk about, but that's kind of how it's been going lately.
Yeah, I know, Dustin, me and you talked earlier, man. I mean, never mind that you guys went up to Foxborough and beat the Patriots last week.
At Foxborough.
You know, at Foxborough. But let's just go ahead and get this out the way. Just what did Cam Newton do last week that got every sports talk show in America still talking about it after a week?
Yeah, I mean, you said it, Gene. The Panthers go up there and get probably, you know, their biggest one of the season. Mm-hmm. Cam finally gets back playing right how he's supposed to play after coming off the injury. And then we get midweek and everything's good to go. And then we have somewhere where, you know, the beat reporter for the Charlotte Observer, Jordan Rodrigue, asked a question to Cam about the routes that wide receiver Devin Funchess runs and the physicality of those routes. And Cam comes across with a little grin on his face and kind of starts laughing and says, he says, you know, it's kind of funny to hear a woman talk about routes. And he went on to answer the question and answered it, you know, correctly with a good answer. But that just kind of got everybody in the uproar. Nobody followed up, but the reporter did go up to him afterwards. And there's mixed reports there. The Panthers organization said that he expressed regret to her. She says that there was not an apology and that he made it worse. And then from there, it just blew up. And wow. I knew it was going to be big because covering Cam Newton his entire career, I know anything he says is big.
Yep.
But to go to this level big, like we talked about earlier, it really did blow up. Mm.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's crazy. And I was telling the guys here, Dustin, you know, and you introduced me to Cam, and I've, you know, seen you interview Cam, and I know Cam sometimes, you know, if he gets comfortable, he jokes a lot and stuff, you know, with some of his answers and everything. And to my belief, this is not the first time this reporter has, you know, interviewed Cam. Am I right?
You're correct. She is a beat reporter who formerly covered Penn State football, and then she came down here about a year ago, just over a year ago, and has been covering the team now for just over a year. So he knows who she is. She's a beat reporter, which means, you know, y'all know what that means. She covers it daily on a daily basis. It's the only team that she covers. Yeah, not sure, like you said, not sure where that came from. You're not going to be in Cam's head, so you're not going to know if he meant it as a joke. Some people even say he meant it as a compliment because he's not used to media reporters being able to talk so good about NFL routes.
Right.
But, again, it's just one of those things where it probably didn't, you know, it didn't. My philosophy on it is it didn't need to be said, obviously. I mean, I'm a media person, regardless, man or woman. You know how hard it is to work in this workplace and to interview these athletes.
Mm-hmm.
So it shouldn't have been said. But as I said to you earlier, to get to this level, I'm not sure if it should have went that big. But like I said, when it's Cam Newton, it's going to go that big.
Absolutely. Folks, once again, we're talking to Dustin Pfeiffer, who contributes to the Sports Kings talk show here on CBS Sports Radio. And he's also a contributor to Fox Sports. Dustin, so just, I know you guys are, you're getting out of Charlotte, thank goodness, and you get to go to Detroit, and hey, surprisingly, I mean, hey, the Carolina Panthers 3-1 at the Detroit Lions 3-1, so this is going to be a pretty good game that's going to take place at Ford Field this week. So give us your thoughts on what might take place tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, it's going to be a great game between two physical teams. Even though the Panthers went into Foxborough last week sitting at 2-1, the vibe around Charlotte was that this team was a 1-2 or 0-3 football team. I mean, just the way, you know, they played some soft opponents to start the season. They played the 49ers, they played the Buffalo Bills, and they were only, you know, the defense was playing really well, but they weren't scoring any touchdowns. They beat the Bills 9-3, and it just was like, is Cam still injured from the shoulder surgery? Is he back 100%? Is he going to get back to that MVP level? And there was a lot of questions. And to go up in Foxborough and get that win like that and to see Cam be the catalyst running the ball, throwing the ball, that was huge. So I think they got good momentum. Going into Detroit is going to be tough. They got a good defense, and they got Matt Stafford. But I think this game matches up well for the Panthers, because if you look at the last couple of games for the Lions, they haven't scored a lot of points either. They barely beat the Vikings 14-7, I believe. So it wasn't like an explosive performance. So I think if they can get into one of these 24-20, 24-17 games for the Lions where it's physical on both sides, I like the Panthers' chances.
Yeah, it's funny how you mentioned that 24 number, because the last time you guys played them, you beat them 24-7. That was back on September 14, 2014. So interesting. I think the last time you guys played them in Detroit, now this was a barn burner. This was a 49-35 win by the Lions. Any chances of us seeing a shootout tomorrow?
Oh, there's always that possibility when you've got guys like Matt Stafford and Cam Newton playing quarterback.
But yeah.
I think this defense is going to play really well, and I think this defense is one of the better defenses in the league. Obviously, they gave up 30 to the Patriots. They gave up 30 to Drew Brees, but those are two Hall of Fame quarterbacks. And, yeah, Matt Stafford, he's a really good quarterback in this league. But I really think this defense is going to get it together. I mean, look at Julius Peppers at 37 years old.
Yeah,
he has four
yeah.
and a half sacks through yeah. 4 weeks. And I still think the best linebacker in the league, Luke Kuechly, who's all over the field. So I think this defense does have a good performance. But the one thing is, Kurt Coleman, the safety for the Panthers, is out probably for a month.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
wow.
That's probably their most thin position on the defense. They had to go sign Jarius Byrd this week. So
yeah,
if that safety position's a little shaky, then you could see some points get
yeah,
put up on Sunday.
Yeah, I think so. Hey, Dustin, man, I appreciate your insight, man, and your continued success with the Panthers there. And, hey, guys, I got to tell you something. Dustin, he is going to be a proud papa here pretty soon.
Oh, congratulations.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
I don't know if
you
wanted me to say that on the air, but I just did.
Oh, no, that's fine. I don't know if I'm ready yet.
Okay. Hey, all right, man. Well, look here. Hey, you know what? Hey, you got to pass the torch, man. So we look forward to having Dustin Jr. on the show here in a couple of years, man.
That's right. It's going to be little Blake.
Okay, I hear you, man. All right, Dustin. Hey, man, take care, man. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks here.
All right, Gene. Look forward to talking to you soon.
All righty. Dustin Pfeiffer joining us in Charlotte, North Carolina, home of the Carolina Panthers.
Panthers.
3-1 versus 3-1. Good Ooh. Matchup tomorrow. So we might as well kind of make our quick round table.
Well, this is the thing, too. I feel that, you know, even though the game's going to be going on tomorrow, like, it's like what y'all are saying, though. This is still going to be carrying on, and regardless of what has been done this week, yep. This is something that's still going to be seen.
I know, but it's got to end at some point in time.
It does.
Christ.
But and then for him to say, too, because this is another thing that I probably didn't really think about either, that he was probably giving her a compliment in right. a way, like kind of laughing it off like, wow, you know.
What I
didn't even though know. Even though it didn't come off like that,
yeah.
But it's still interesting to see how, you know, what could made a bit, maybe been said. But still, we always have to, you know, even what we're doing right now.
You know what it is? It's like, it's one of those things you probably say in your head and you think it don't sound as bad in your head.
Yeah.
And then you say
that's
it
true.
And you're like, man, that didn't come out the way it was in my head.
Usually
yeah.
when I go back and listen to some of these shows, I get that same footage. Well, I tell you what. So it just like with some of the stuff that was going on with the national anthem and stuff, it was so nice to get back to football.
Yes.
Haven't we had enough distractions over the course of 4 or 5 weeks going into the NFL season?
No, I'm just
it's kind of good to get. I didn't even know Detroit was 3-1. Barely knew that the Panthers was 3-1.
I mean,
because we've been so distracted with other nonsense.
Is it bad to be just expecting the distraction though now?
Well, no. I mean, come on. Pretty soon, this
yeah.
is going to happen. You're
yeah.
going to have a
You're
lot
just
of,
waiting for something else
you,
to happen.
See,
yeah.
this is, you know what happens is you end up talking to a lot of dumb people.
Yeah.
The whole season will come and go, and people will how did those teams get to the Super Bowl?
Right.
Well, because you got caught up in all that other crap.
Well, see, those
you didn't want to listen to the stats and the information that we're trying to give you week in and week out on football because you're interested in – and who's kneeling and who's standing and who's locking arms and who's doing this. I mean, some of this
but those
stuff.
But apparently those ain't the fans, though. You know what I'm saying? Because I definitely understand how, like, all that still matters, though. Because
mm-hmm.
regardless of even if we stopped talking about it and wanted to get to, you know, let's just bring it to
football.
And that's fine. We can still do that.
Just imagine. But, we could, like, you know, if you get too caught up in this, you'd miss Deshaun Watson throwing, you know, having 5 touchdowns.
Ooh,
you know
I don't I mean? Think we missed that.
Well, I'm just saying. No, you won't miss it because you're here locally.
I was actually listening on the radio.
I
was
like, oh, yeah. Nobody has time for this. Let's get into this game. So, anyway, getting into this game, I think Stafford, I think we have a pretty good guy. I think Stafford's going to take this game. I think Matthew Stafford in Detroit might They still trying to get that win over getting robbed.
Yeah, man.
From that other game.
But you know, but to say to play on what on to play on what Darren said, that defense, man.
Who's?
Carolina, man. It's a scary defense, man. You know, you got the best, like you said, you got the best linebacker out there with Luke Kuechly. You know, man, that's going to be getting after that quarterback. You know, can the O-line, you know, support that, you know, stop that front seven? I don't know. I don't know if they can.
I still think that they're a little shaky, though, because compared to the Lions, because I still think that they're going to – I'm just predicting the Lions are probably going to take it, though, because I think the last game, that's whenever they're finally starting getting back in the rhythm. But to me – really, the Patriots are the problem. I don't think Carolina was just, you know, doing that good. I think the Patriots are just that bad.
That defense is missing out. That's a fact. So, they're just miscues on that defense.
All right. Let's get to the home team, okay? Let's talk about the Houston Texans. Big game against the Kansas City Chiefs coming up.
Woo!
Sunday night football. Ooh. How about that? NBC. Ooh. It's nice to just let everything take place tomorrow, and you are in prime time.
It's good to not see the Giants play at 7, right? Like, that's
no,
the,
it
that
is
was like
not.
The most boring
don't,
thing.
Don't
like,
get
no,
Mario
it's
not. Going.
It's
okay?
all right,
don't
though, because he deserves it, though.
Don't
because
get
it's been so terrible.
I'm going to tell you right now.
All of last
right.
year, too.
I'm going to tell you right now. Listen, I'm going to start it right now. Listen up. Listen. Listen up. Listen. Giants, are you listening? Pay attention. All right, I'm about to drop some knowledge in you. We need to fix that O-line. All right. That O-line is trash. That O-line can't stop a drop of water. All right. And, you know, Eli Manning's 30-something years old, bro. He ain't 20-something years old. He ain't got no wheels on him. You know this. I know this. Everybody know this.
But you know what? We're just, like I said, we're just glad that we don't get to see them Sunday night anymore, which is the best thing.
But can we talk about teams that have actually won a game, though? Can we?
That's fine.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm just glad that we finally get to watch the Texans Sunday night against the Chiefs, which is really going to be a good game.
0-4 teams. I thought we were talking about our team, our local team here. Our home team.
We're talking about it.
The 4-0 Kansas City Chiefs against the 2-2 Houston Texans. This game would take place live at that stadium over there.
Over NRG there. Stadium.
Right? All right. So we got a big game here. And, you know, trying to come off a 57-14 win over Tennessee. This is going to be big. And whatever Bill O'Brien and the Houston Texans are doing, they are tailor-making plays for this kid, Watson, and it's looking good. They are designing stuff. This guy looked good. So last year was Dak Prescott. This year is Deshaun Watson. Would you guys agree?
Oh, no, agree. No, most definitely. And also because, like you were saying, the system that he's getting brought up in, you're pretty much making it tailor-made for him to be able to grow into it and also just do a lot better. They're giving him more things wherever he's able to run out the pocket more. Just design runs, period, giving him, you know, it's a little bit of that confidence that, you know, yeah, go ahead and run. You know, don't get hurt, though, but at the same time, be very aware of your surroundings and make good plays. But the thing that I really liked about this last game was he was making a lot of plays, but the plays he was making a lot of passes. In tight situations. So that was my thing too, that he was really accurate the last game. You couldn't take that away from him.
And you know, normally, I mean, to stand in the pocket, I mean, you don't see rookies that are able to just stand in the pocket and do what he's doing. He's really doing some great stuff. So you know, the Chiefs, I think the last time they played last year, they beat the Chiefs. They beat them last year, 19-12. And the Chiefs right now, the only unbeaten team in the NFL coming to town. This defense, can someone explain to me why does Mr. Watt and Mr. Clowney, why are they not on the field at the same time?
Well, this is the thing, too. They have different sense, but also you see them on the field, you know, a couple times as well, too, because they run out of the three four, and they also plug in, just like you're saying, to plug, you know, plug players in. Mm-hmm. They got a lot of, you know, different things going on, but especially with the linebacker situation, too, because, of course, Cushing is not playing anymore, so now we're putting in a rookie now and kind of filling that problem in. So, you know, they're also adjusting, but the thing that's going to work for them is that the Chiefs are going to be without two offensive linemen. Mm-hmm. They'll be without the guard and the center, so I think that's going to help the Texans a lot, just because the stars ain't going to be there, so you're going to have to plug in some guys over there.
Well,
so they're going to be rushing.
We have to be prepared for Tariq Hill and Kareem Hunt. These guys are tearing it up this year.
Oh yeah, they are.
One reason why this team is undefeated. So I'm not taking anything away from Bill O'Brien and what they've put together so far. 2-2. We know this team should be 3-1, and we know that for a fact, right?
Yeah.
But nevertheless, guys, who are we picking tomorrow night to take care of business?
I got to go with that front seven, man. That front seven, Clowney just looked amazing that last game, man. And, you know, everyone's coming together. Defense wins championships. So it's going to be Texans.
Okay.
35-21 Texans.
35-21 Texans. Chris, who you got?
I got the Texans.
You got the Texans. Yeah. All right. I think I'm going to go with the Texans, too, to knock off, to give Kansas City their first loss of the season.
First day on prime time.
Keep it in the division, guys. We always want to know what the other teams are doing in the AFC South. We know that the Titans are going to try to rebound after that thrashing. They take on a Miami Dolphins team that is struggling under Jay Cutler. But I tell you what, I think the Titans are going to take care of the Dolphins.
I agree.
You have to, right?
I choose Dolphins.
You take the Titans.
I'll take the Titans. I can't do Dolphins. Cutler's just—he's horrible, bro.
Horrible.
It's horrible.
I mean, it also depends, the injury status of their quarterback. So I still don't know what's really going to happen with Mariota just yet. You know, they might have to, stick it out and probably go with the second stream, which didn't work out for them the last game. So I think, they still have to battle a lot of things. They're still going to struggle. I don't think there's it's happening in the bag just yet. Because, when you saw that Titans, because I was at the game last week.
Matt Castle's still.
And they look, I'm telling you, it was just a whole bunch of other things. It was a whole bunch of other things going on in there. That's all I'm saying. So, to me, as a team, I don't think they were feeling it whatsoever.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you give them a little bit of Murray. You give them a little bit of Henry. I think that should be able to kind of, they defense is not going to be able to. If you don't have Mariota, then you definitely give him the ground game.
Yeah.
What about the Pittsburgh Steelers? What were you going to say, Mario?
Yeah, because, we're talking about Matt Castle. Matt Castle, not a couple years ago, took, rode Kansas City almost all the way to the playoffs.
Yeah, but y'all saw him last game, right?
Yeah.
Y'all saw him last game? All right,
that's okay. He didn't get no reps. He needed no reps.
Last game, that's it. Not 3 years ago, last game.
He needed them reps.
Okay, so Pittsburgh Steelers coming off their victory over the Baltimore Ravens, they take on Jacksonville. Jaguar team who besides the Texans are looking competitive in the AFC South.
They are competitive, and that defense has a lot to do with it. The secondary is really good, and also that defensive line is
Calais Campbell.
Yeah. Oh, wow. They're Jackson up there, too. Like, they're really good on that front seven, just like we were talking about with the Texans, but it's still going to be the Steelers. I say they'll at least give them a good competition for the first half, at least.
But you know what?
I want to like Fournette, though, too, running the ball. So
yeah, and he's been doing pretty good.
That's a big dude, bro. That's a big boy right there.
If you're Ben, you better look out for Calais Campbell, because he's going to come after you.
You look out for the linebackers. Look out for the corners, too, coming after him.
What about the Titans? I'm sorry, the Colts and the 49ers. Even though the 49ers haven't won a game, right? Are they winless too, right?
Yes.
But they look like they have won a game because they've played some good football. The Kyle Shanahan offense will get it together at some point in time. Do the 49ers get their first win over the Indianapolis Colts and Jacoby Brissett?
They've been keeping it close, though. That's funny about them is that whenever you watch one of the games, they're all kind of excited.
I think it's going to be Jacoby Brissett. He's old one. You know what I mean? He's been playing really well. He's been consistent. Hasn't taken the team where it needed to be. But I think this is the game where he's going to get over finally. And I think this is when he's going to, put it on. I have no trust, man.
You're talking to him like he's a bad girlfriend.
The Bears and the Vikings. I'm going to go with the 49ers.
I don't know.
I know Brissett has been doing good. I called him Brisket the other day. I called him Brisket.
When you look at the 49ers, though, when they kept up with the Rams, because the Rams
that was a great Thursday night game, though.
And this is the thing, too. So, the fact that they're able to keep up with people
and
keep
put those points on the board. Yeah.
So, that's why, for the Colts, a little bit, I'm kind of worried on their behalf a little bit.
I think if they turn it into a shootout, I don't think that goes in Indianapolis' favor. You know what I mean? They're gonna have to be really ground and pound to win this game.
Real quick before we jump into Monday Night Raw. Is it Monday Night Raw?
I guess so, yeah.
Hell in the Cell. Okay. Hell in the Cell. Hell in the Cell.
Eli Manning, Philip Rivers, everybody kind of knows the history with those two. No one would think that the Giants and the Chargers would be undefeated. I mean, winless, I'm sorry. They wish they were undefeated. So, Mario, real quick, and I don't know. I say with the way those guys have played, I wouldn't be surprised if this stupid game ended up in a tie, which would be horrendous.
It's going to be a high-scoring game. It's going to be a shootout. You know what I mean? Like you said, there's personal beef between these two. You know what I mean? This is the man you got traded for. This is the man you know what I mean? There's a lot of the one-upmanship is going to be in this game. And I think it's going to be Eli. Go with my Giants over the Chargers 27-21.
Okay, now that Mario made his pick, we can go on to bigger and better things now. All
that's
right.
True. That's very true.
That's cold.
Chris,
cold-blooded.
What is happening in the WWE?
A lot is happening in the WWE right now.
I was
waiting for my segment. I don't know. I don't know what this 3-minute business is.
Well, it wasn't that I left you with 3 minutes, Chris. I mean, this is an NFL town. This is a NFL city.
Texas.
Do you realize how popular WWE is here in Houston, Texas? I mean, every time they come to Houston, Texas, which is going to be in November for Survivor Series and the TakeOver games, they always sell out. Big things happen here in Houston for WWE.
Big things.
But tomorrow, me and you were going to watch Hell in a Cell, the pay-per-view event.
In a Cell.
Or if you have the WWE Network for
$9.99.
That's how I'm going to change the name of this show to Hell in the Studio.
I can get down with that.
I think that'd be really accurate.
We get some tables, some ladders, some chairs. I'm telling you, man. It'd be great.
For an object. I don't know. But
the carnage.
The one thing that I'm worried, or not worried, but the one thing I'm excited for is the Shane Kevin Owens fight tomorrow. We all know what's
going to
happen. We all
know. Shane's
going to
win.
I don't think so.
The part of the show where I kind of go on mute.
Shane's going to win. Everyone know Money Matt going to win. Like, come on now.
So. I don't think it's going to happen.
You think they're going to KO? They're going to put KO over?
Of course.
Nah.
He always is. He always puts people over. Jinder Mahal versus Shinsuke Nakamura.
Is this a cage match?
Yes, exactly.
It is a cage match.
Really? And Hell in a Cell. I mean, it's whatever McMahon says.
It's whatever he says he wanted to be. Whatever.
David, are you in on this too?
How much does it cost to a wrestling match now? David would make a great referee.
That's actually one of my goals in life because
he wants to ref a WWE match.
I think I could do it. I could be distracted in the corner.
How much is it to take a family of four to a WWE?
$1,000.
Where are you trying to sit?
Really?
Where are you trying to sit?
Because I haven't gone to one of these events.
I've never been in one.
How about you just go to a Lucha event? I think that would be a lot cheaper and probably a lot better.
Lucha's crazy. They're crazy.
Really?
Yeah.
You go, they have them using the VFWs. And they're all crazy, and it smells like cigars and old people.
That's heavy cigars.
He's not
wrong. Veteran of foreign wars.
They usually have them in their halls and stuff like that.
Okay.
The VFW.
Yeah, and that's crazy because they smell like all old and they're all grouchy and they want to shoot you.
And they have like that wood paneling.
Yeah.
Well, I'll be hanging out a lot of wood paneling. 20 years
that
or so.
That 1970s
okay, so
wood paneling.
Go easy on those folks. That'll be my home there in about 20 years.
Very big things are happening tomorrow. Dolph Ziggler versus Bobby Roode. Who do you got?
Bobby Roode, the fat, you know. You already know.
Guys are.
Because you kind of got out the game.
You got out the game.
Honestly, when you're out the wrestling game for a little bit, you kind of forget names.
Can you smell what the Rock is cooking?
That's 20 years too late, Jesus.
Is that 20 years ago? What's the Rock? Jesus Christ. Somebody help me.
I'm too Bobby Roode because I think they're riding him. I think they're riding Bobby Roode. I think they're really going to push him.
I mean, how much time we got right now?
And that's it. We got 2 minutes.
You know what? I'm sorry for you WWE fans out there. If you guys are listening, call in or text and write us at the Sports King CBS Sports Kings podcast off of Facebook and say we want more wrestling.
We'll talk about anything you want to talk about, but
not just wrestling.
So we want to thank our producer Sam, who made us sound good.
I will not eat these green eggs and ham.
And Sam, I think she cut your mic off like an hour
ago. I think so. Yeah, I can't hear myself.
Okay. Put some bass in my speakers.
We want to thank our marketing guru. You're back to marketing now because you're not writing anymore. She gave up her court reporting duties over there. Kimberly, Mario, good job with Ronnie Shield.
Thank you, man. Ronnie, if you're still listening, bro, if you ever have any local fights, let me know. I'd love to check you out.
Want to thank Dustin Pfeiffer for calling us from Charlotte. Good luck tomorrow on the NFL games, all you gamblers out there. And, of course, go Texans, go Astros, and
go Yanks!
Welcome NBA season. Who? David, thank you. And I almost said you would see us back here. You will hear us back here next week. Right here on the same station, CBS Sports Radio 650 Houston, Sports King Saturdays. We are out of here.
Check us out, man.